Good to see everybody this morning. I came in the front door earlier, and they were just taking a pan of fresh rolls out the oven. Oh, I like not being here now. Just give me them biscuits and let the rest of it go. Nothing smells no better than fresh bread. But on this Memorial Day service, we want to say that we're especially thankful for all of those that have paid the ultimate price for the privilege of us being here in this house this morning. For those that fought. You know, nothing's really free. There's a price to be paid. And the price for us being able to gather together here in freedom, liberty to search out God's Word, to hear God's Word, to sing the psalms of praise that we do every Sunday, there was a great price to be paid. People have been paying the price for liberty and freedom since the 1700s so that we could stand here. And we want to keep this day set aside each and every year for as long as America stands, which by believing God will be till the end of time. I can't say that for sure, but, you know, if we keep our faith in God, then America's going to stand. But the thing about paying the price, I want you to know this morning that for every price paid, for the sacrifices made, there always has and always will be, surely, a reward. And so as we look back over the years to the ones that have served, pray for the ones that serve now, for the ones that will serve in the future, we're going to look at the reward this morning. And I kind of threw a curve into something here. In your bulletin, Diane asked me, you know, where my text and everything was going to come from. Well, it's still coming from the 21st chapter of Revelation. I don't preach from Revelation that much for some reason, but I told her it was from the King James Version, and it is. It's from the New King James Version, the American Patriots Bible. But go with me as we read from Revelation 21. John said, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." Now, stop right there for just a minute. This new earth ain't going to have no oceans. Well, why? We won't need to go fishing. So, but I want you to remember this morning and think that on this new earth, there's going to be a lot more people around than water sitting here this morning. Plus water sitting in all the other churches in Henderson County this morning. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And we're going to skip on down to verse 9. Where John said, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And I also had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the name of the 12 apostles. Now, let's look at this city for a minute. Now, folks, if we hold on to our faith and worship God, read and study the Word, and do what we're supposed to do, this is where we're going to live one day. This is going to be our reward for the sacrifices that we've made here on this earth. A lot of people say, well, that's in Revelation. That was just a dream. No, it was a vision. Well, the old boy was hallucinating. He'd been boiled and all. No, it was a holy vision. God was showing John what was going to be one day if we just hold the faith. This city is laid out in the book of Revelation, 21st chapter. A lot of people say that, you know, you can't really understand. Well, some stuff kind of hard to comprehend, I guess, when you get into the first chapters. But this particular chapter, everything is laid out. God is showing us what our reward will be one day. He's got it all laid out where just about anybody can figure it out. I know if I did, Keith won't have any problem at all. Let's look on down just a few more lines here. The wall of the city had 12 foundations in the name of the apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city was laid out as a square. The city was four square. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, its breadth, and its height are all equal. How many knows what a furlong is? Lord, Miss Linda was here. She could tell me what a furlong is real quick. Well, that's how they measure a horse race track. But I got studying this and I guess I was taught sometime or another over the years when schools actually taught stuff that you needed to know what a furlong is. But I couldn't remember, so I got out my old encyclopedia that I've had for 40-something years. And I thought, hey, furlongs hadn't changed. They still today what there was 40-something years ago. But then I got thinking about it, so I've got this new handy-dandy little book that I've had for the last several years working around construction that gives measurements and equivalents. But a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. Now, y'all consider this. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. That's 660 feet. Keith, you got a calculator handy? You know, well, all right, Miss Kathy's got one. She's got Keith's back every minute of the way. and but 660 feet to a furlong. That's 1/8 of a mile. What is 660 multiplied by 12,000? That's going to be a number about this long.
7,920,000.
All right. 7,920,000. All right. Divide that now by 5,280. That's 1 mile. 1,500 miles. Each gate in the city, or each wall in the city of New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles long. That's 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 this way, 1,500. Folks, when you think about it, the city, the New Jerusalem, that we're going to inherit one of these days if we hold on to our faith. And don't let this slip your mind either. This city is just as tall as it is square. 1,500 miles square. This city is bigger than all the capital cities in the United States together in ground area. And then it's just as high as it is square. You talk about a big... That's why I kind of like to live just outside them walls on a little hill with a shade tree. I ain't never been no city dweller. But I just want to make it. Why has the city got to be so big? Well, as I said earlier, there's going to be more people there than just the ones in this room that are going to make it. More people than the ones up at the other churches in the city and community that are going to make it. We're going to share this city with all the saints that have kept their faith ever since time began. And the gates are never going to be closed. Well, why do they need gates? Well, each gate is made of one pearl. It's going to be pretty. I mean, you can't have a wall without a gate. Can't have a gate without a wall. But everything is so beautiful. God has got the reward of the saints laid out in such splendor. There has never been anything on this earth to compare to what God has got prepared for us. Which might give you an idea as to why God hadn't come back, or Jesus hadn't came back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. Well, look at the size of this city. It took a day or two to build it. I mean, I realized that all God had to do was just snap his finger and say, but he didn't do that. He took time and preparation with the souls of those that were going to hang on. This is not some fantasy story. If it is, Keith, we might as well give up now. But this is not a fantasy story. The angel said his word is true. And Jesus said, chapter 22, behold, I come quickly. He's coming back. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Folks, he's coming back. And who's going to be ready? That's why men and women over many hundreds of years have gone to war, have sacrificed life, limb, blood, so that we could come together in places like this and hear His Word. Strengthen one another in faith. Strengthen one another in spirit. No man's going to make it on his own. No man's going to make it alone. Preached a message one time, call one thing worse than going to hell. Now, Chuck, there ain't nothing worse than going to hell. Yeah, there is. That's going and taking somebody with you. But I can assure you, if you live the life as taught from the pews and the floors, the grandstands from around this nation, around the world, if you obey this word, then you can go to heaven. And just as surely as I stand here today, you'll take somebody with you. No man, no woman, no child does it alone. So, New Jerusalem's got to be a big place. Because everything God's done has been on a grand scale. And now you ask, this morning as the singers come back, we contemplate what we've heard, what we've learned. You might ask, Chuck, what's this got to do with Memorial Day? Well, as usual, I'm going to tell you. Whether you want to hear it or not, this is more to do with Memorial Day than you think. Memorial Day is a day set aside to remember those like Brother Vernon, Larry, John, all those that have wore the uniforms, United States military. I want you to know this morning, if you're here, if you're saved, you're a child of God, born-again Christian, you are a soldier in the greatest army that has ever marched the face of the earth. You're a member of God's army. A lot of people may not acknowledge that on Memorial Day. But without God being the general, we would never have won a battle. Would you stand with us this morning as the singers sing and as we reflect back on the ones that gone before us? If there's one here this morning that don't know God, hadn't made the decision to walk with God, receive His Spirit, and serve Him, then I pray that today would be the day that you'd make that decision.
We do.
I wasn't paying attention. Amen. Does anyone else have any announcements that we might have missed earlier? All right, then they're going to sing a what? I mean, excuse me, sir.
Well, tomorrow is mine and Andre's 2-year anniversary.
All right. God bless strong woman right there, strong woman. That's what they always tell me about knees. 2 years, huh? Man, I'm working on 41. I'm getting old. Lord have mercy. But anyway, the ladies are getting everything prepared out there, so we'll have a dismissal prayer. We'll ask God to bless the meal, and then these folks will sing one more song, or whatever. Let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, God, for all the great men and women that gave all they had, Father, that we might be here in your house this morning to hear your word, to praise you, to celebrate the freedom, the rights that we still have as yet. God, I ask you to bless each and every person in this house today, no matter what branch of the service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, police officers, firefighters, ask all the blessings on all those that would walk out of the house each and every morning and sacrifice all that they have for the freedoms that this nation still clings to today. God, we ask you to bless this food that we're about to receive. Bless each home and person that prepared it. Ask your blessing on those that serve. God, we just ask your blessing on each and every home that's represented here today. And never let us forget, Lord, you are God. You're not only the greatest general, but you're the only God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, join us for the potluck song.